Would you pray with me? O Lord our God, I pray that you would have mercy on us this hour. Calm our hearts and give us clarity of thinking and reflecting, that as we approach your word, we would do so with humility and with reverence, knowing what is truly important. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Communication is terribly important. I'm reminded of that this hour on multiple levels. Communication is terribly important. And before we get to the sermon text for today, which you can turn to with Philippians 3, I just want to comment on this briefly because I see it being of great importance to many of us this day. If we are to be the people of God, if we are to be united in His love, if we are to call each other family, then we must communicate with each other well. And that takes intentionality, it takes vulnerability, it takes risk, and it takes a willingness to forgive. So people of God, communicate with each other. Sermon text today comes from Philippians chapter 3. Verse 4 through 14. It actually starts in the middle of verse 4 because there's a paragraph break in your Bible. There's probably a paragraph break in the middle of verse 4. So we're going to start at 4b, the second half of verse 4, and go through the 14th verse. Listen for the word of the Lord. If others think that they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of His resurrection and participation in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Communication is terribly important. And if we're communicating about the wrong things, then we're missing the point. The way we handle conflict, the way we handle differences and disagreements matters. Because what is at stake is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here in this room today, we have us. We have the church family. We have a couple of young people who are visiting with us today, which is wonderful. But by and large, we are the adults, the members, the people who call Mount Haley Church of God our home. And if we are not willing to communicate well with each other, then we are doing damage to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every conversation we have matters, because the most important thing is the gospel of Jesus Christ. All of the things that we could hold on to as being important for ourselves, all of the things that we think are meaningful, even in this moment, all of the things that we think are meaningful pale in comparison to Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you follow me? Nothing else matters. Look up the definition of irony sometime this week, would you? There's a temptation for us to think only about ourselves, as if the experiences we have are the most important thing in the universe. There's a temptation for us to center on ourselves and to say, the problems that I have are more important than the problems anybody else has. There's a temptation for us to put ourselves at the center of our religion, at the center of our faith, to say that we are Christians and therefore we get to go to heaven because that's what we want, when really the goal is Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul the Apostle, writing this letter to the Philippians, was writing from a position of strange paradox. He's Paul the Apostle. He's powerful. His words carry tremendous weight. He wrote over half of the books of the New Testament. He converted so many people to seeing Jesus Christ as their Lord. He baptized so many. He taught so much. And yet he is in prison. Here's the paradox. He is in prison for doing exactly that. He has power, but he has no power. He has authority as an apostle of Jesus, but he has no power because he's imprisoned for preaching the gospel of Jesus. And in this passage from Philippians 3, I think he says what is most profound for us to hear today. None of that matters. Not his pedigree as being a Hebrew of Hebrews, not his influence in the early church, not his articulation, not his ability to write. None of that matters. And none of it matters that he's in prison now. How terrible it is for me to be behind bars. Pray for me, pray that I might get out. He doesn't write any of that mess. Instead, he writes, I count everything a loss. Everything is loss compared to knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. If we are to be the people of God, then that is the center of our thinking. That is to be the center of our thinking. Everything is loss compared to knowing Jesus Christ our Lord. Knowing Jesus is something that most of us are familiar with in one way or the other. We understand Paul's language there. Knowing is not just about having his stories in our mind or knowing where to find stuff in the Bible and being able to tell the stories of Jesus preaching to the Pharisees and telling all these different parables. That's cognitive knowing, but that's not what Paul is talking about here. What Paul is talking about here is an intimate spiritual relationship with the living God of the universe, something that he begins with us, and we respond in faith to him. Something that we often think of as bringing meaning to our lives as well. We should, because it does. But I wonder if we think about it the way Paul does. Instead of saying, look, I have another thing to hang on my rack of things that make me a good person. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. I have all this pedigree in being a student of the law. And besides that, I know Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. That's not important to Paul. What is important to Paul is following Jesus and imitating him in his life and in his death. I want to know Christ, Paul says. Yes, the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Anything else we do has no meaning if we are not connected to the story of the death and resurrection of Jesus. We die to ourselves. We die to those things that we think are important in our lives. And we rise to newness of life. If the story cannot be made real in our lives, then we have no reason proclaiming it to the world around us. The gospel of Jesus Christ is that there is new life for us to have in this world. We don't have to wait for eternity, although we have tremendous hope for eternity. New life begins now in Jesus Christ. To know Jesus Christ in this way is the most important thing in the world. Everything else is meaningless. When Paul writes to the Philippian church, he's writing to them to encourage them to hang in there. He's writing to them to remind them that their future is secure. They lived in a time of persecution when it was not easy to be a Christian. It's easy to be a Christian today. You just walk in the door and you show up and then you walk out the door. And that's the end of it. It was not easy to be a Christian. I should say it's easy here to be a Christian in today's world. Some of our brothers and sisters don't walk out the door. In the time of the first century, it was not easy to be a Christian for that reason. There was persecution, there was imprisonment, there was even death for those who claimed Jesus as their Lord. And so Paul, writing this letter to them as a living witness of what it means to put yourself in Christ's hands, writes to them and says, you know, when you suffer for the sake of the gospel, when you suffer because people want you to renounce Christ, but you refuse to, when you suffer because of your association with Jesus, you're imitating Jesus in his death. And that's a good thing. Even when you die for the sake of the gospel, that is imitating Jesus in his death, and that makes it a good thing. And then, when you have newness of life, when you handle conflicts differently, when you communicate with people differently, when you live differently because of Jesus living in you, then you are embodying the resurrection of Jesus in your life, and that's a good thing too. So hang in there. Remember that your future is secure. And remember that everything you do, Paul writes to the Philippians, is intended to point people to Jesus. Everything you do is intended to point people to Jesus. So instead of focusing on themselves, instead of stacking up the righteous things in their lives that made them good people, the Philippians were encouraged to keep their eyes on the true goal of their faith. The true goal of their faith is Jesus himself. Everything else is garbage, rubbish. You know, it's one of my favorite words. I can't help myself. It's vulgar. What Paul writes here in Philippians 3, it's the Greek word for dog poop. I love to go there, you know. Skubala. It's a word that was used in first century Greek writing as an expletive. Everything else is worth that. Fill in the blanks. Compared to knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, everything else is worth that much, which is really not worth much at all, right? Compared to knowing Jesus, nothing else matters. And yet, Paul, even Paul, the apostle who's imprisoned, who's preached to so many people, who wrote so much of Scripture, even Paul, this guy who is, I guess, a model Christian for us, right? Even Paul says, I haven't reached the goal yet. I'm not there yet. I still have somewhere to go. Knowing Jesus Christ my Lord is the goal, and I'm beginning to, but I still have somewhere to go. I've not yet arrived. I press on to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward. What's the prize? It's not heaven. The prize is not heaven, folks. Heaven exists so we can get to know the prize, who is Jesus Christ. Heaven doesn't mean anything if Jesus isn't there. Amen? Amen? Thank you. If we get to heaven and there's no Jesus, it's not heaven. The reason we have promise of heaven is so that we have promise of eternal relationship with Jesus our Lord. Everything else is meaningless. I don't care if there are streets of gold. It doesn't matter. I care if Jesus is there. And that's all the further I think about heaven. It's a wonderful hope. I don't dream about what it might look like. Jesus is going to be there, and that's going to be enough. That's going to be enough. God's vision for Paul was to know Jesus. God's dream for Paul was that he would know who Jesus is. God's dream for the Philippian church was that they would know Jesus. That they would know Christ Jesus, their Lord. And I think that's God's vision for us here at Mount Haley Church of God as well. I would like to introduce to you today an idea that I have for our vision as a church. This is something that we've been thinking about for a couple of years now, thinking about what our core principles are, what we stand for, what's really important to us. You see those things on the pre-service slideshow. We rotate through those things that we've identified as being important to us, identifying us as a congregation. And we have a mission statement too, don't we? It's printed in your bulletin a couple of places, and it's printed on signs above each of the entrances to the main entrances to this building, but by and large, most of us don't know it. We couldn't quote it if we had to, and it's all right. I mean, there's a time and a place for everything, and there's different seasons in the church's life, and I think in this season in our church's life, I think it's time for us to gather around a vision, something that propels us forward, something that we have not yet obtained, but something that pulls us forward into God's preferred future. We do this in obedience to what God has commanded us. The first and most important thing, Jesus responded to the people who asked him, what's the most important commandment? Jesus responded, the most important thing you can do, there's really two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Everything else depends on those two things. To communicate well, to resolve conflicts well, to be church family together well, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. It's harder than it sounds. But that's the command. And what are we to be about? Jesus says at the end of Matthew's gospel, he gives us what we call the Great Commission. Every church is to be about this. All church people are to be about this. Jesus said to his disciples, all authority on earth and on heaven has been given to me. So as you go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. End of Matthew's gospel. Go. Make it happen. As Captain Picard would say in Star Trek The Next Generation, say it with me. Make it so. Oh, come on. There's no shame in that. Not right now, anyway. Make it so, number one. God calls us to love him and to love each other and to make disciples of all nations. So in response to that, I believe God's vision for us at this juncture in our lives can be described in one sentence. Heather, would you put it up on the screen for me, please? We will intentionally grow as disciples of Jesus and as servants in our community for the sake of the kingdom of God. We will intentionally grow as disciples of Jesus and as servants in our community for the sake of the kingdom of God. That's a sentence that I think we can remember, that we can say to each other, that we can quote to other people when they ask us, what's Mount Haley Church of God about? We will intentionally grow as disciples of Jesus and as servants in our community for the sake of the kingdom of God. This hopefully doesn't come as much of a surprise to you. It's not really coming out of left field, so to speak. Because for a while now, I've been pushing discipleship and outreach, growing in discipleship with our Lord and reaching out to our community in his love as the two big things that we do. And I think the glue that holds it all together is why we do it. Not to earn the ticket to heaven or anything like that, but for the sake of the kingdom of God. for the sake of the one whom we serve. Let me walk through this statement with you, one word, one phrase at a time, because I think this is important stuff. The first word is we, which means all of us. It's a vision for all of us to claim as our own. It's a vision for us as a group, whether you're young or old, whether you're a new Christian or a seasoned Christian, whether you're male or female, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, whether you're a Tigers fan or otherwise, none of that matters. We are called to one vision, and in that we will be united. We are responsible for each other and to each other. We belong to each other. If this is our church home, then we have something at stake with each other. And so this is a vision for us as a group. The next word is will. Future tense. Something hasn't happened yet. We're not there yet. Even Paul the Apostle, writing from prison after having written so many letters and being such a good person, says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize. He hadn't gotten there yet. And we haven't gotten there yet either. Our goal is still ahead of us. Our goal is to know Christ. As Paul writes here in Philippians 3, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in the sufferings. We haven't gotten there yet. Paul hasn't gotten there yet. There's still somewhere to go. So we must strain forward to reach it. We will. Intentionally. We're not going to back into this. It's not going to happen by accident. It's not going to happen just by showing up on Sunday morning and sitting and doing what we're supposed to do and then going. It takes intentionality. It takes commitment. It takes dedication. It's not going to happen despite our idleness. It's not going to happen just by doing what good Christians do. Knowing Christ in his resurrection and in his sufferings requires deliberately following him. We will intentionally. And now the verb, the action word, the thing that we will do, which is grow. What does it mean to grow? We're rearranging here. Oh, yes. Okay, very good. Yes, all right. Pardon me. That's all right. They have to leave early. There's just a little. Everyone's watching. It's good. It's all right, Liz. You're okay. Don't worry about it. Communication's important. This is important stuff. Have a good afternoon. When disruptions happen, we need to acknowledge them and validate the people who are involved. It's okay, Paul. Don't worry about it. It's all right. Because what we're doing is growing together. What we're doing is relating to each other. There's an important conversation happening there. Who knows what? Doesn't matter. The most important thing is knowing Christ Jesus our Lord. And if we're going in that direction, then we're doing okay. So we have to be sure we're going in that direction. We will intentionally grow. What does it mean to grow? It means to change, to mature, to bear fruit, to not stay the same. It means to not diminish, not to disappear. It means not to quit halfway. It means to keep moving forward. It means becoming wise. It means becoming humble. It means being active. Growing means fulfilling the purpose for which we were created. We will intentionally grow. And how are we going to grow? What are we going to be doing as we grow? Two things. First, as disciples of Jesus. We will grow as disciples of Jesus. What's a disciple? A learner? A follower? Someone who studies the Master? Someone who walks alongside him? Really, he's the one who walks alongside us. Jesus is ahead of us and behind us, beside us, around us, among us, within us. If we are to be disciples of His, then we must learn to acknowledge His presence around us at every moment. That transforms how we communicate and how we handle conflicts and how we be church together. We grow as disciples of Jesus. And we grow as servants in our community. Why? Because that's what Jesus did. Jesus was servant in His community. Here He is, Jesus, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, the eternal one, the one who was with the Father and the Spirit in the beginning, one God now and forevermore, the one who was there at the present moment of creation, the one whose word gave action to the moment of creation so that when there was not, He still was. Jesus, the very eternal Word of God, moved into our neighborhood, became one of us, took on flesh. We call this the incarnation. Jesus became human. The Word of God took on human flesh and served, healed the sick, raised the dead, performed miracles, fed the hungry, washed His disciples' feet, sacrificed Himself on the cross. The last, of course, being the most important. Jesus was a servant, and His service led Him to sacrifice. So since we're disciples of Jesus, we're going to be servants in our community. These two things go hand in hand. And we do all of this, the glue that holds it all together, the last two lines on the screen there, for the sake of the kingdom of God. Coming to church, studying the Bible, growing as disciples, growing in service to the Lord is not done for our own benefit. It's not done to secure heaven. The goal isn't heaven. The goal is Jesus. The goal is citizenship in His kingdom. That's the prize for which God has called us together in Christ Jesus. We will intentionally grow as disciples of Jesus and as servants in our community for the sake of the kingdom of God. As we grow in discipleship and in service, we will attract others to our Lord and King. We will grow, others will grow, and all of this happens for the sake of the King. We can stack up all of the membership documents and all of the baptism records and reports and all of the mission trips that we go on and say, look how good of a church we're being. But none of that matters compared to knowing Christ Jesus our Lord. We can be the best church that we can imagine. We can have the best youth ministry we can imagine. We can have the best WCG group we can imagine. And do tremendous things to change the world. We can go to Guatemala and build houses. But all of it is counted as really not that meaningful compared to knowing Jesus our Lord. That's the most important thing. Because He is the most important one. We do all of the things that we do for the sake of the kingdom of God. This is what I think our vision as a church should be for the time being. This is what I think we should rally around. This is the thing that can drive us into the future and clarify all of the conversations we have and clarify all the groups that we do and clarify all the services that we hold and give purpose and vision and direction to what we're about. We will intentionally grow as disciples of Jesus and as servants in our community for the sake of the kingdom of God. If anything we do is not in line with Scripture and with the goal that God has set in front of us, then we shouldn't be doing it. Or we should do it differently. So how do we do this? Well, we're going to explore this over the next several weeks. This wasn't just the introduction to the sermon. This is like an introduction to a series. But the next several weeks, we're going to look at the Gospel of Matthew, chapters 21, 22, 20, into the 20s, and study what Jesus did and see how that connects with this vision that God has given for us to follow. For now, the call of God is to press on toward the goal, which is Jesus Himself. The call of God is to catch a clear vision of this goal and to unite our hearts together as we strive to know Christ in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of the sharing in his sufferings. The invitation today is for you, no matter where you are in your spiritual life, no matter where you are in your family life or church life or work life or relational life, the invitation is for you this day to commit yourself to following the Lord. For most of us in this room, it's not the first time that this has happened, and that's okay. It takes constant, intentional commitment to the Lord to be found in him and to remain in him. It's not something that we back into being in relationship with the Lord. You know what I mean by that? It's not something that happens by accident. The invitation is for you today to commit yourself anew to the mission of God in this world, which is to make disciples in the name of Jesus Christ and to love God and to love others with all that we are. And the invitation for you is to move toward Christ instead of away from him. There are so many temptations in our world, things that would distract us from the goal, which is Christ Jesus our Lord. We've experienced some of them even in this hour. Forget what lies behind and strain toward what is ahead for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Press on to win the goal. That is the word of the Lord for us this day. Would you pray with me? Oh, yes. Angie's sugar is out of whack. Oh my. Diabetes is a terrible thing. And it can strike at a moment's notice. Yes. Thank you. Lord, we lift up our sister Angie to you in this moment. You are the one who formed her in her mother's womb, just as you formed all the rest of us. We don't understand diabetes. We don't understand why things happen the way they do or what the timing of it. But we pray, Lord, that her sugar would return to a normal place. It can be a very dangerous and scary thing. So we pray for her that you would give her peace of heart and of mind and of body in this moment. Help us, Lord, as a church family to gather around each other and around your word and to commit ourselves in this moment to follow you. No matter what happens in our lives, let us consider you as the most important thing, so that you might be glorified. We pray for healing in Angie's body so that you might be glorified. We pray for reconciliation among those of us who are at odds with each other so that you might be glorified. We pray that you would grow us as disciples with each other so that you might be glorified. Raise us up as followers of Jesus for your name's sake, because you are most important. And we yearn to be in full relationship with you. Give us grace, we pray, in the name of Christ our Lord.